It's time for the Cheap and Chad's Power Half Hour.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back to the best and only fantasy podcast that features our league of record. Tonight we have a special guest for you, our birthday boy by a day, Mr. Joe Mancuso. How are you tonight, Joe?
Doing pretty well. I just got a package from one Caitlin Castiglia, and I am also known as Castiglia, and I'm expecting it to be a certain trophy.
It probably is. If it's big and square and heavy, it's about 10 pounds, that is certainly the trophy in its new trophy transportation kit.
And I'd just like the former league champion to know that Chaz has effectively, or maybe Kat, has effectively minimized shipping costs. It was only $21.05.
Yep. Yeah. So that's pretty good. So, I mean, I think it'll depend on, you know, who the winner is each year shipping it, right? Like if Mike wins it, it'll probably cost a little bit more, but I think for the most part, the cost shouldn't be more than $30 total. And a nice, neat little package. As long, you know, so make sure that when you're opening the package up, take care of it. Keep that package around, right? We want to try and at least keep that one going for a couple of years. I intentionally use that package because that's a standard box that we can buy at like UPS for like a couple bucks. So if that one gets damaged, anybody can go to a UPS store, get that same box, put in the foam, and then it's good to go.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited to see Elise's face as I probably display this somewhere. In
the house. does she know it was coming? She knew it was coming, right?
Yeah, she knew it was coming.
Okay. And does she know how big it is?
She does not know how big it is.
Okay. So that'll be interesting to see. If you can, try and record it. I think you mentioned the kids want to open it tomorrow?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll do that before I go to work tomorrow.
Okay, cool. Cool. All right. So, you know, this is our first I think we recorded an episode in like the January, February timeframe. But this is really our first episode of the new season, really, because we're now in the off season. The draft hasn't happened yet. The combine has. But we've already now passed the major point of free agency where all these big moves have happened. And there's been a lot of moves that are really going to affect, I think, a lot of values for players. And so let's talk about that first. What are some – and you can start or I can start. What are some big player moves that are really – that were interesting to you, and what is your take on how it'll change the value, both in terms of, like, their production, but also what their auction value will be probably in our draft?
The first thing that intrigues me is the everyone is all aboard the Cleveland Browns hype train.
Yep.
Baker, Odell. I'm sure someone's going to stash Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb. I mean, Landry's probably going to get some more looks in the slot, almost better than the other receivers there. Is Odell Beckham the number one receiver now that Antonio Brown's been ostracized to?
You know, I for me, it's a top three of DeAndre Hopkins, Davante Adams, and OBJ, and they're all interchangeable. I lean with DeAndre Hopkins for the simple fact that the dude gets targets. Like, he's been consistently at 150 targets or more for the past, like, 5 years, 4 years. So, for me, he's number one. You know, Adams is not going to necessarily catch as many balls, but his touchdown numbers the past few years have been just ridiculous. He's been double-digit touchdowns for three straight years, right? So
yeah,
there's that. So for me, it's Adams and OBJ as a back and forth. You know, I think in terms of the overall offense, OBJ is now one of a few weapons, whereas Adams is basically the go-to weapon. So I think it's just preference of what team you want to be on at this point.
Yeah, I might flip them. I might go Odell, Devontae, and then Hopkins.
Okay.
I don't know. Because I think I had Devontae in my head as number one receiver at the end of the year. Like, if I could draft anybody in the next year, it would be Devontae. Because he had literally no help other than having Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, you know, and your point before about how everyone's on aboard the hype train, that's starting to show up in mock drafts. So I've already been doing mock drafts. Just for fun, via the Sleeper app, which I've mentioned in previous last year. If you don't have the Sleeper app, I recommend you get it. It's a great place for breaking news, but they also do mock drafts right from your phone, so it's really easy. And I've noticed significant jump up for Baker Mayfield, especially where previously Baker was like, you know, the 8th to 12th QB off the board. And right now he is like number two or three behind like Mahomes and Watson.
That's high. I mean, it might not be. No one's going to pay in our league, so it doesn't really matter if you pay $8 instead of $6 if that's what the number mm-hmm. two quarterback is. But if I don't know if you're going $20 for Baker Mayfield.
No, well, that's crazy. But let's like look at it this way, right? We already have people out there who have already thrown out that they'll spend $25 on Mahomes, which, to be fair, is he worth it? Because last year he was 10 points a game better than the second best QB. And so just, I mean, just how, think about that mind-boggling stat. He was 160 points better. Is he worth $25? If he repeats, I would say yes, he is.
And that's not even counting. That's not even accounting for the variance. Obviously, there's variance in all positions, but Mahomes' upside. If Mahomes puts up 38 points, and your average quarterback puts up a good game of like 21, like you're down in the hole 17 points. You need to make that up. It gives you a large margin for error that I don't think that is being appropriately priced in, which is why I will happily go $25 for Patrick Mahomes, even if Tyreek Hill doesn't play this year with his domestic.
Yeah, I think so many people are going to be interested in Mahomes. I think you can see his price approaching like Aaron Rodgers levels, like $30, $40 as in previous years.
Yeah.
I think you see that. You know, and we were just talking about, you know, how this definitely keeps OBJ in that top three wide receiver discussion. And notice how neither of us mentioned a certain person who is now a member of the Oakland Raiders, and that's Antonio Brown. I mean, it's putrid to think of him on that team because I don't like Derek Carr. I don't like John Gruden. I don't like anything that they're doing. He will be the only option there, but at the same time, Amari Cooper was really the only option there, and he didn't do anything with it. Now, to be fair, Antonio Brown's a higher caliber player than Cooper. Cooper had a lot of drops, but I just to me, I think in terms of top players outside of Hunt, and that's probably because of the suspension, Brown is going to be, I think, one of the lowest value players in terms of what he'll cost compared to what he might be able to do.
Yeah, he definitely falls down a tier. He'll probably still go for 40 at least, I'd say.
Maybe you think 40? Wow, okay.
I think so. Like the top receivers have been going in the low 50s recently. I think he's still in that second tier. Like where'd Devontae go for last year? Like 38 to 42, somewhere in that range. I think what you're doing to yourself though, if you're drafting Antonio Brown, you are giving yourself incentive to watch Raiders games. And that's a bad thing to do unless you're Jim Clark.
Well, I mean, most of us aren't going to be able to do that because we're on the East Coast. You're right, East Coast Central Time.
Yeah, you'll never have the game.
Those games are always on so late. The only person you would really be able to watch is Mike.
But then you'll have to check. Even checking the box score is depressing. Like checking the box score of like a 16-13 Broncos Raiders game last year when I had Emmanuel Sanders was sad.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, let's talk about his replacement a little bit, Juju Smith. He didn't move anywhere in free agency, but. He, like Baker Mayfield, I've seen a tremendous rise of the draft boards to where he is right now usually the fifth or sixth wide receiver off the board.
Who else is ahead of him? Do you know?
So DeAndre, OBJ, Devontae are typically ahead of him. And then I'll usually see, you know, him slotted in around like Mike Evans, Keenan Allen, like that. He's in that tier package right now.
Yeah.
Is where he is.
Fired up. He's got to be number four in our league. Or maybe he even jumps into the top three because there's one thing about our league in the last 2 years. People love Juju Smith-Schuster a lot. There's a huge bidding war for him. It's like the number one regret for half the league. I feel like that they lost the Juju Smith bidding war to Joe and the draft.
I mean, I had him the year before. I got him off of waivers. I was happy with that. I have a tendency where I've noticed that in the past few years where I tend to hit on guys the year before they really blow up. Which is so if you're looking for people, look at my team last year and case in point, a guy like Chris Godwin, who's probably gonna blow up this year, and I had him last year. I don't see how he's gonna be worth that much. I get it, there will be targets, but you know, Ben's a year older. And the biggest difference is that now Juju is gonna take the coverage, right? Last year it was Brown getting the double mans. Juju Smith had the lowest, and this is a stat I know, he had the lowest amount of double coverage. Like he had one of the lowest amounts of double coverage in the league at like 7%. So now he's going to be taking double coverage. So how is that going to affect him in terms of his production? Yeah, he's going to get slightly more targets. But last year, he had like 140 targets, 150 targets. He had a lot of targets last year. There, he can't get that many more targets.
Yeah, that's a good point. I did not think about the I didn't think through the Antonio Brown double coverage. Because Juju had a nice year last year. And I was tempted until you gave me that stat to put him ahead of the Mike Evanses of the world. I think I would still put him ahead of Keenan Allen. But Mike Evans with Bruce Arians, that's a tough one.
Yeah, you know, Mike Evans is interesting with the Bruce Arians coming on board, because I think for the most part, most people are down on Mike Evans this year, but he dude had the best year of his career last year, right? And that was and that was partially due to the Fitzmagic going on, but it was just, you know, he had like one of the best years of he had the best year of his career last year. He had a great year, but he's still. Out of all like the top like group of wide receivers, I think he's at the bottom of most people's radar.
Yeah. Yeah, he's in Tampa Bay, which is part of that, probably that reason as well. Yeah. Nothing inspires indifference more than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
that is true. So any more free agent signings or trades that are particularly interesting for you? I think we talked about in the chat tonight about Jordan Howard, so that's kind of fresh in people's memory.
We do need to talk about Le'Veon Bell.
Okay. Le'Veon to the Jets. Okay. Go ahead.
Speaking of sleepers from your team last year, I guarantee he will outperform his production that he gave.
That is a great prediction, Joe. Your accuracy on that one is probably going to be 100%.
Yeah, it feels pretty bold.
Yeah. You know, what's funny about that situation is just he's making less money than he would have made if he signed with the Steelers. He's a year older. Yes, he took a year off, so he preserved his body, but from certain reports, apparently he's ballooned up and gained some weight from too much partying and just relaxing in Miami. And my concern is that a lot of Bell's game is about dump-off passes, right? And Sam Darnold traditionally is not that kind of guy. At USC, he pushed the ball downfield. He was not a dump-off the ball. Case in point, you know, one of his running backs was Ronald Jones, who was not really a pass catching running back, and has been terrible. Did nothing last year in his first year in Tampa, and even to the point where they might even go after another running back this year in the draft. Yeah. So I don't know if I see this being like the match made in heaven. I think he's going to get he'll get the touches, he'll get the carries, but I don't know if this is going to be. If he's going to be able to produce at the same level. Because remember also, the Steelers' blocking scheme is a zone block. So that's why he's capable of being patient and then waiting for the hole and then going. I do not believe the Jets run that type of scheme offensively for their O-line. So, I just don't know. Other than the touches being there, I don't know if he's going to be able to produce anywhere close to what we're used to seeing with Bell.
Yeah, it gives me pause that Connor did so well. Mm-hmm. Much as well as Bell had been doing, but I mean he's still going to be a top 10 back. It's just how much do you want to go? Probably like around probably in the mid 40s.
You know, I think mid 40s is a good price for him. I think that's a good price.
Kind of where Tim got Hunt last year, like 48, maybe Fournette last year, 49, something like that. He's going to get touches. I mean, Kroll was playable for a lot of the year last year, so I mean Le'Veon's better than that.
Yeah, speaking of, Kroll is now in Oakland.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if you saw that. I think that happened today, actually.
I did not see that. I must be, for non-significant Raiders news, it must just bounce off me and now my head.
So if you had to give a prediction for the top three, let's see, the top three most expensive running backs and wide receivers in the draft this year, who would your votes be?
I mean, the receivers are the top three that we talked about with Odell, Hopkins,
and OBJ.
I think Odell is going to be the most expensive receiver because it just has – the Browns are just so hot right now. Somebody's going to feel real good about that.
Yep.
And I did see a string of – like a Twitter thread when somebody tweeted out all like GIFs of every time Eli Manning missed Beckham wide open last year.
And yeah.
There's a lot of them. There's a lot.
Really?
And there's a lot where like nobody was near Odell Beckham. So, yeah, there's that. Running backs.
The ones. I'll give you my thoughts on running backs. I think two. I know two of the three. I'm almost positive are going to be Saquon. I think will be number one off the board.
Yeah.
And then I think McCaffrey is going to be two or three. And then the third is going to be up in the air. I think it's going to be largely dependent on Gurley and what his health status seems to be.
Yeah.
Those would be the three that I think are going to be top three.
Yeah, McCaffrey is just such a safe play except for receptions. Like, he's going to catch close to 100 balls if he stays.
Correct.
Such a safe play in our league. And everyone seems to love him.
Yep.
I thought I could have got McCaffrey a little undervalued last year. That was not the case whatsoever. And played out.
Yeah, and you know what's funny is that you know, obviously my gambit last year with my top three running backs did not pay off. I went top dollar for those guys. I had an alternative strategy. I think I mentioned this on a previous podcast. I had an alternative strategy of doing something similar but for slightly lower guys, and the guys I would have been targeting would have been McCaffrey, Gordon, and I still would have gone after Gurley. So I would have saved. I thought I would have saved a little money going after Gordon and McCaffrey. Gordon ended up going for more than I thought. I think like $60 to Gelch, but McCaffrey I think went for like 55. I want to say.
Yeah.
So he ended up being a complete value relative to his production. But that would have given me a couple more dollars to play with. And if I had done that, I mean, I might have been unstoppable in the league last year. But just didn't work out.
Yeah. So. Razor thin margins, man. Razor thin margins.
Yeah, we'll see. Maybe I'll do it again this year. We'll see. I mean, I don't know if people would let me do it this year. I think it could still be done because I don't think people are going to push their prices much beyond that $60-$65 mark. I think you're still going to see a lot of running backs in that $55 to $60 range, but I don't think you'll see too many in the $60s. I think you'll get maybe 4 or 5. But I mean, it's possible for me. But again, everyone saw what happened last year. I mean, it's basically a boom or bust type of thing. So it'll be interesting to see if I decide to employ that gambit, will somebody let me do it?
Yeah, and then Gordon and Elliott are the next two down. But on your gambit last year, if even with David Johnson being mostly not good last year because the Cardinals were a pit of despair,
mm-hmm.
you would have been like 7-6 if you put James Conner's numbers in for your worst player in
any for Bell.
Yeah, for Bell, whoever you were playing at flex.
Interesting.
I think we ran the numbers towards the end of the year. So you would have been – I'm not sure, tiebreakers, if you would have made the playoffs or not, but you would have been right there.
Okay.
And that was with – you didn't really hit on any of your receivers off the bat.
No, well, it's funny. I hit on them, but just not at the right time, and I let go of them too soon. Godwin I got rid of, I think. DJ Moore I got rid of too soon, and then he ended up blowing up later on in the year. There was a couple of guys that I drafted that I had early on that just – I bailed on them too soon, and they ended up – coming into play later on.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. So the strategy has merit. And that was even Zeke didn't go crazy last year. He's very, very, very solid.
Yeah, yep. well, that's what you say. Zeke was solid, but he still underperformed what I spent on him. And same with DJ. DJ was still a running back one. He was the running back 10.
That's amazing. But that's just because of injuries.
Yeah, but comparative to what you spent, when you spend that money, you expect that top dollar or close to it. And that's the risk we all take, right? That's why the people who end up, you find a gem in the rough, you find a Mahomes, it was your brother or was it Ryan that spent a dollar on him, and you end up with a freaking magic maker. It's those are the guys that I think end up making the team go, not so much spending the high value and getting the high value. It's finding those relative values that explode.
Yeah. But one last point on David Johnson. I would like to point out that even though he had a horrendous Week 16 game, he did catch a 35-yard touchdown pass from Larry Fitzgerald on a broken flea flicker play that provided the margin of victory in the championship game.
Fair point. Yeah, that's right. Because he ended up on your team by the end of the year. So
yeah, he's got a ring, man. He's got a ring.
Yeah, so you're welcome. So I will take 5% of that ring.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, so we talked about free agency. Let's look forward now to the draft. One of the things that's been a big trend the past few years has been rookies making instant impact. And we've seen it more so from running backs than we have for wide receivers. Typically, it takes wide receivers 2 to 3 years to really break out. But what's unique about this draft class is that there's really, at this point, and we haven't seen who's been drafted where yet, but even now, before the draft, there's no clear-cut stud, right? In previous years, there was Saquon, there was Zeke, there was Gurley. There was these clear-cut studs that where they were the number one guy. This year, there isn't any. But there is a significantly deeper class than most years in terms of the skill position players. For wide receivers, you have DK Metcalf, you have N'Keal Harry, you have Butler, Miles Boykin has made his name, a name for himself. Running back, you've got Miles Sanders, Jacobs, Anderson. You've got a whole bunch of guys. You've got a bunch of guys that are all primed, but I think it's going to really end up just being where do they end up. And I think the more so than most years, where people are drafted will end up determining whether or not they're going to make an impact for this year. Whereas in previous years, didn't matter where Saquon went, he was making an impact. This year, I think it's all about where the players go.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no Saquon, and there's no – I know DK Metcalf put up, like, crazy combine for – and he's super, super jacked. But he had, like, a slower, like, cone drill time than, like, Tom Brady did when he did the combine.
So he did, but to be fair, I actually watched that video. I watched the video of his cone drill. He tripped at the beginning of it. So that's and they only get one shot at the three cone drill, which makes no sense to me. They get two shots at like the 40 and a bunch of other drills. The three cone, they only get one shot at. And he tripped in the beginning and slipped. So I think that's what accounted for his time being it was. That being said, the dude was freaking jacked out of his mind. So I don't necessarily think he would have been that much quicker anyway. But I think that partly contributes to why that number was so much higher than people thought it would be.
That is a phenomenal nugget. I regret being completely out on DK Metcalf. Now I'm
Yeah, and that was my point. Same thing, right? For me, I was like, oh, no, I'm screw that. Because traditionally, when it comes to wide receivers, the three-cone drill is actually one of the best indicators of how they're going to perform in the pros. And actually, that goes for not only wide receivers, it goes for running backs and also linemen, right? Both offensive and defensive linemen.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Impressive.
Yeah, so so that was a number that I was out on DK after I saw that, but then I watched the video. I'm like, okay, I can see why. What's interesting, and I've only learned this recently, is that they do a lot of training. Players do a lot of training, right? Obviously for the draft, for the combine, but sometimes they will drill specifically for certain events. So, for example, N'Keal Harry, I learned this, didn't run the three cone at the combine. Because he had a really, really great 40 time. And I don't remember the exact number. I think it was like 4.34, 4.35, somewhere around there. So yeah, really fantastic 40 time. But what I learned was that sometimes these players will intentionally only train for certain skill tests, right? They'll do the catching the balls and all that stuff. But the skill testing, they'll only train before the combine for certain ones to peak at the combine. And then what they do is they come back, and then knowing that their pro day is in another month, they will then start training for the other items. So that way they can do those at the pro day and put up good numbers at the pro day.
Ah, interesting. Solid.
Yeah. Track. Yeah. So I didn't know that. And a good example of that for us, locally to us, is Tavon Coney, right? So he was at the draft. He wasn't hurt, but he didn't participate in a lot of the drills. And that's because he was about a month behind everybody else in terms of draft preparation because he didn't actually choose an agent and start training until significantly after the bowl game against Clemson.
Ah, that's interesting. I did not read that.
Yeah. So he came back from the combine. He did what he had to do at the combine, but then he came back, started training, and then he did all that stuff in the pro day. And traditionally speaking, for people who are, there's only 100 and some odd players that get invited to the combine. So you have a lot more people that participate in their pro days. So NFL scouts, they more or less look at numbers from your pro days on the same level as the combine. Even though they weren't run by the NFL, they traditionally will take the 40 time or the other bench press, whatever else you do, skill testing wise at the combine, at your pro day, and it holds the same weight as your testing numbers that you would have had at the combine.
Huh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Again, I did not know that. I think there's no no-brainer skill guy that you're going to be like, I need to fire this guy up on my fantasy team. There'll be a lot of sleepers depending on where people go. Like Josh Jacobs could be really good, but depends where he lands. I'm looking through. Miles Sanders is down draft board, so I kind of like him.
Yeah, I like Miles Sanders too. Again, it's going to be where he's drafted. I like Ronnie Anderson.
Yeah, I don't like Mike Weber. Or Weber, I don't know.
Is that the Oregon guy?
That's the Ohio State guy.
Ohio State, okay.
Bryce Love's two herds. I'm just looking through a list. Dexter, I like Dexter.
Dexter's on there. I think I saw a projection of third to fifth round for him, is where I'm seeing him.
I can't wait till he gets put on a team and then I can criticize their coach for not giving him enough carries.
Yeah. And that's the crazy thing, right? Is that, you know, we have all these offseason trades and free agent signings, and then the draft comes along and messes it all up because teams draft players where they weren't planning on it, right? Eagles just trade for Jordan Howard, and let's say somebody falls into their lap, and all of a sudden it completely changes the outlook, you know? So it'll be interesting to see how that goes.
Yeah, and I don't think that's super great for Jordan Howard's outlook. He's just the same, pretty much. He's going to get 10 to 15 carries, maybe more if the Eagles are up big. Like maybe a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, keep in mind, 200 carries is 13 touches, right? So, 15 touches is 230 carries, and traditionally speaking, you want to get to that 250 number to be considered a workhorse. So, you know, those are the guys that will put up numbers. So it'll just be flavor of the week, I think, a little bit with the Eagles. Obviously for me right now, I see Howard as the lead back. I think he'll get 200 touches. I mean, a couple of years ago, LeGarrette Blount had like 173, and whoever was behind him, I think it was a Jive because they traded for him, had like 70. So that's 250 carries right there, right?
Yeah.
So if he gets 250 carries, you know, even if he averages 4 yards a carry, that's still going to be 1,200 yards and a handful of touchdowns. So I mean, he should be a pretty solid running back too, assuming they don't draft anybody else and he gets those touches.
He'll be like low end RB2.
Yep.
Matchup.
Yeah, low floor.
He's not going to be. Yeah, because you're going to risk a lot of like 12 carries for 48 yards and nothing else games. So.
Yep. Yeah. So, but again, it'll come back to what does he go for in the draft, right? If he goes for $30, I mean that's probably about where his value is. If he goes for lower than that, then all of a sudden that number makes it's worth it for to grab him, Brett. You know, even at $20-$25, he's worth it.
He was 34 last year, $34 last year, and he did not return value for me. And as Johnny can attest, no one wanted Jordan Howard.
Yep.
I traded Johnny Jordan Howard because he needed a running back on like a Sunday morning for like an injured Seattle running back. Oh, Carson. Yeah, I traded him for Chris Carson, which ended up playing out pretty well for me because I think Carson dealt a death blow to Johnny in the second round. Yeah.
So these traded acquired players are what ended up lifting you to the championship, which goes to prove that you don't win a championship at the draft, right? You do it with your in-season moves.
Yeah. Well, that was I don't blame Johnny for making that move at the time. Carson was hurt. There was some uncertainty as if he was going to get, the full share of carries back when he came back the next week. Because it was a short turnaround. It was a Sunday. He was playing Thursday also, so he's definitely out Sunday. He might not have played Thursday. I think he did play Thursday, but I already had Mike Davis. So I was going to trade him Mike Davis for auction money, and then on Sunday we circled back on it because he still didn't have a good flex in his lineup.
Gotcha.
He circled back, and he took Howard. But anyway, yeah, Howard Carson definitely did come back and get him in week 15.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, I think this was a good first episode back for the season. Again, thank you for jumping on. I want to thank everyone who listens out there. I was telling Joe before we started recording, the Anchor app is what we use to produce the show, and it makes it really easy to, record and upload and all that stuff. But they recently upgraded, and they're now giving me analytics. And so there's a couple of things that they're giving me that I think are really that might be of interest to the league to listen to. So number one is that right now the Anchor app shows that we have an average of 20 people listening to the podcast consistently. And for anybody who can do math, we have more than 20 people in our league. So there's a handful of people out there who are not part of this league that might be listening to this podcast. And if you are, thank you. We welcome all. It's just crazy to me that people are interested in a league that's not their own. So that's point number one. And then number two is that I can see when there are certain spikes in listening. And so what was of particular interest was back in November, it was like November 23rd or 28th, we had over 200 listens in one day across all our episodes. And so I don't even know how it's possible. Right now we're close to 1,000 listens across all our episodes. We have about 20 episodes. So we're getting like 50 listens per episode average. I don't know how that's happening. But I'm very grateful for it. So, thank you guys for supporting the podcast. I love having guests on like Mancuso. I think last year we had Mancuso, O'Brien, I think that was it as far as guests. So hopefully we can get a couple more people on next year that are open to guesting, and I'm sure Macus will be open to you know, do guest hosting like he did this episode, you know, as we move forward.
Yeah, I can't thank you guys enough, you and the Chief, for getting this going last year. This has been phenomenal. I do have one more stat.
Sure.
Before we get going,
lay it on me.
So, in 2013, my first league title year, I had Kira that year. So, and then in 2018, obviously had Kyle, who's about to be one tomorrow. And 2019, I'm probably going to take the title home again because Elise is expecting due sometime in late October.
What?
So, number four is on the way.
Oh my gosh!
I'm going to go ahead and call my shot that the title is gonna stay down here in the Mancuso household for one more year.
Joe, congratulations. That's fantastic news.
Yeah, man. You're the first to know. Breaking it on the podcast.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you for that. Well, no, thank you for telling me, and thank you for telling us. And what a great way to break the news, everybody. This is now the second pregnancy we've announced on the podcast. Actually, the first one was on my other podcast. Sorry. But still, second one in the group that we've broken on the podcast. That's crazy.
Yeah, podcast pregnancy announcements.
Wow. Well, congratulations, man. That must be so exciting.
Yeah, we're pretty stoked about it. Yeah, this might be the end of the line, number four, but we'll see.
Sure, sure. No, I could get that, but wow, that's crazy. So do the kids know? Does Kira know? Does she understand? Or
yeah, Kira's pretty pumped about it. She's hoping for a girl.
she wants it to be even, right?
Yep, Josh gets it. Obviously, Kyle's on
Kyle's, the wall. Yeah, Kyle's.
He doesn't understand much other than food.
Wow, man, that's crazy. Well, congratulations. You know, obviously, I hate to break tradition. I take it home, the trophy home. I hope you don't. But if it does stay with you, I will be more than thrilled. That's fantastic news. Congratulations again.
Yeah, thanks, man.
All right, well, that's going to wrap it up. What a great way to end the show. Guys, thank you so much. Again, thank you to our sponsors. And we'll see you next time on the Chief and Chaz Power Half Hour.